Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Let's read chapter, let's just take verse 1 of Revelation 4, 1. He says, after these things, metatauta here again, what we used here before. I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place, notice, after this. So John here is giving us a vision by God. Now, there are five things that happen to John. Number one, he sees a door open. The door opens. Think about that. The door that is open in heaven. And as we see this door that is open, there are three doors that are mentioned in Revelation. Number one, the door that is open is a door what? For missions. For God to use my life in missions. Revelation 3:8 says this, I know your works, and see, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, you have kept my word, and have not denied my name. An open door. Remember Acts 1:8? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Secondly, there's the door of the human heart, taking the message to other people. Listen to John chapter 10, verse 7. And then Jesus said to them, again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. He's the door. So the sheep can come through. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. Three doors he talks about. Imagine what it must feel like when a person doesn't know the Lord. Like all of us, we didn't know the Lord. And I can remember clearly, man, for so many years, man, I was so hardened by sin. Whatever I did, I was not ashamed of it. But as people began to pray with me, my in-laws and Sharon's grandparents, I didn't know this until later on, that 2 years before I came to Jesus Christ, man, I was so convicted, I didn't know why. And I took it out on my wife because I thought it was her preaching. You know, she never preached to me, but I said that, you know, to get even with her. I hated to see her life because she never preached to me, but you could see Christ right through her life. And that's what God wants in our lives. He wants people to see our lives without preaching to them, that we truly believe in the holiness of God and in godliness in our lives, so that people don't have to question our marks if we're Christians or not. Jesus said, you shall know them by what? By their fruits. By their fruits. And then thirdly, think about this. There's this door of revelation. Once you give your heart to Jesus Christ, he will reveal glorious things to you and to me. Lord, speak. What do you want me to do? 1 Corinthians 2:12. And now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But to us, look what God has done in our lives. God has done so much in our lives. So here John, you notice he hears a commanding voice that he hears in the first vision, and that voice is the Lord. Thirdly, John was called by God to come up into heaven. Imagine, John, come up here. And he was snatched to heaven. And then John was immediately in the Spirit in heaven. In the Spirit in heaven. And then fifthly, John saw the most astounding sight you could ever see when he saw the presence of the throne of God. Imagine that, the throne of God. I think how when we die, if the Lord comes for us before that, because there is a generation, we're going to talk a little bit about this, there's one generation. There's a generation that will never die. Never that people think, you know, you're just making that up. No, I'm not making it up. The reason I want to speak to you in verse 1 tonight is because a lot of people in many churches are disbelieving the rapture of the church today. It is not going to happen. And Satan is using that lie to lie to people, because if you don't believe that the rapture is coming or that the Lord is coming at any time, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get involved with sin all the time. What's kept me for 40 years is the coming of the Lord, the coming of Jesus. I don't want to get caught not doing His will. I want to make sure that I'm ready. And people begin to procrastinate. People begin to believe the lie rather than the truth. And yet, why is it? I'm going to take you to the Holy Testament tonight and show you where the rapture of the church is. First of all, the word rapture is never found in the New Testament. It's the word harpazo. He uses the word to be caught up. And what's incredible is that people say, well, I didn't find the word rapture. You won't. You won't. And this generation that is never going to die, which I believe we could be that generation. And if not, I don't really care. I'll be in heaven, so I don't really care. You know, it's not a big deal for me. But the thing about, as a pastor teacher, I have to not only communicate to you, but communicate to myself that I've never doubted the rapture of the church, ever. Even as a new believer, man. When I got taught, man, I was on fire for the Lord. Because that's what's kept me for all these years, man, that Jesus is going to come for me. He's coming for His bride. And the signs that already have been given to the church, how can we say that there's no God? How can we say there's no second coming of Christ? If He came the first time, what makes you think He won't come the second time when it's in the Word of God? This is the Bible. The Word of God is not Reader's Digest. It's the Word of God. And John here is transported to heaven. He's in the island of Patmos and he's transported to heaven, which is a picture of what? The rapture of the church. I'm going to show you something in a moment. And then at the same time, this is not only an event for the church, but it's an event that each one of us individually have to understand, that there is no way that we could ever be with the Lord unless we know the Lord. Unless we know Him intimately. Intimately like never before. I want to be able to hear the heartbeat of God. The heartbeat of God. When little children come next to you, they can hear your heartbeat. Think how it must be for God when we get next to His chest and we hear the heartbeat of God. That can only come through communion with God. Communion with God. There's no other possible way. To be with God in prayer, fellowship, communion, and then feeding upon God's Word. So guys, you feed upon God's Word, the Word of God will begin to speak to your heart. And then you have your sword to fight against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. But if you don't have your sword and it's not sharpened, then how can you do damage to your enemy? He'll do damage to you big time because you haven't put on the whole armor of God. I was thinking, can you imagine, man, just that, let's say nobody else comes to Calvary Chapel from now on. And just this group right here, if we started praying and fasting and being obedient to the Word of God, can you imagine what could happen? Not just here. What could happen in this whole world, man? Because of people that love the Lord. People that want to obey the Lord. And yet the Lord said that there's a generation that will not die. That they will be taken to be with the Lord. We call the rapture of the church. And what's incredible is the word rapture is not found, I told you. The word is caught up. It means a snatching out. It's like if you're in a car and somebody whoosh, snatches you out in the twinkle of an eye. It's going to be night sometime in some part of the world and afternoons and then whatever, mornings. And all of us, imagine flying a 747, the pilot's a Christian. Goodbye. I mean, think about it. Driving the freeways. One day, millions of people are going to disappear. And imagine the light that Satan will bring to this world. But remember this, if you don't get taken and you're left behind, you better get on your knees. Because that's the beginning of the last 7 years of world history. The Antichrist will come. And the Antichrist will begin to rule. He will set up that whole earthly kingdom, which will be an apostasy kingdom. This is what Paul says about the snatching away in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And check this out. And thus we shall ever be with the Lord. Isn't that cool? Ever with the Lord. Let's begin looking at the New Testament, okay? John's there. He gets caught up. The doors open. He sees the throne of God. Okay, and the Spirit of God is everywhere. We'll get more on that later. But let's start with Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. Okay, I'm going to take you to the New Testament. And let's see, what does Jesus say? Jesus, in chapter 24, 25, he's speaking about what? The last day is called the Sermon on the Mount. Remember? I mean, not Sermon on the Mount, but this is where Jesus is sitting down. He knows he's going to die, and he's on the Mount of Olives discourse. They begin to ask questions. Lord, what's going to happen? What's going to take place before you come again? And he begins to show them what's going to take place. You go down to verse 36 before he closes the chapter. He says this. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be at the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch. The word watch here, it means be on the alert. Therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, be on the alert, and not allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. Wow. I mean, look what he said. The second coming, we know. 7 years after, when the rapture comes. No man knows that day or hour. It's going to be a surprise. And then Matthew 25, verse 1, he gives that parable of the 10 virgins. He says, and then the kingdom of heaven will be like a 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And now 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, and the oil is who? The Holy Spirit. But the wise took oil with their vessels for their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Remember, the Lord's gone. He's been gone for a long time, 1900 years. And they were all sleeping. And then at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Now, in Jewish culture, this is what happened. When the bridegroom was going to marry his bride, he would always come as a surprise. He would send someone ahead to say, behold, the bridegroom is coming. So they could get up and get dressed, get their lamps ready, whatever it was, to be ready. And then when the bridegroom would come with the bride and they would get married, they would have 7 days of partying, feasting. The rapture comes, we go to heaven for 7 years, and then we come back at the second coming. The Bema Seat of Christ, the Supper of the Lamb. Wow. Notice what the scripture teaches. And then he says this. He goes on. Verse 4. But the wise took with their oil in their vessels and their lamps. But while the bridegroom delayed his coming, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, A cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins got up. They trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest you should not have enough for us. But you go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Check that out. They wanted their oil. And they said, no, you go get your own oil. Salvation is a free gift of God. You just can't give it away. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then check this out. Verse 10. And then while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Wow. The door was shut. Interesting. The door was shut. The only way you can go to heaven in the tribulation period, how's that? You have to be beheaded. Beheaded. That's the only way. The dispensation right now is the dispensation of the Gentiles, church age, until the rapture. And when the rapture comes and we're taken to heaven, then all hell is going to break loose. And imagine parents and grandparents, uncles, aunts, nieces, whatever, and they'll know that you're a Christian, and now you're gone. Or coming home, a husband, their wife and children are gone. And they know that their wife and kids were Christians. How do you think they're going to feel? You ever been left behind? You're getting ready to go to the airport. And then you get caught in traffic and your flight leaves. And they tell you, well, there's not that one until another month. What? Think about that. It would bother you, right? Well, look when the Lord's going to come back. Look what else he says. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him in the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I don't even know you. Watch. Notice again the word watch. Be alert, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Mark those scriptures. We know the second coming. We don't know the rapture of the church. He's going to come like a thief in the night. How about Mark chapter 13, verse 32? He says, but of the day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, he says, watch. That's the word watch again. Be on the alert and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, notice, and to each one his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master is coming of the house is coming. So he's talking about himself. Leaving, coming, where his servants, and then look what he says. He says, when the master of the house is coming in the evening at midnight and the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say all watch. Notice how many times the word watch, be on alert, be on alert, be alert. Over and over and over in the scripture. Luke 21:34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life. And that day will come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What's going to come? The tribulation period. He says you don't have to be here. You don't want to be here. The Son of Man is going to come. John 14:1, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have never told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you also will be with me. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Notice informing them. And then how about 1 Corinthians chapter 15:51? 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. There again, maratauta, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Notice, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing this, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wow. Look what the Lord promises, the scriptures. When I was doing my study this week, man, I was, okay, Lord, man, come and get us, man. I mean, think about what's going on in the world today, the oppression, the depression, the problems that are unsolvable. People think, oh, it's going to get better. No, it's not going to get better. I don't want to lie to you. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And the only thing that can keep me is Jesus. His word, prayer. Prayer is like oxygen. It keeps me moving. And I think that as we're sitting here tonight listening to the word of God, remember what he said seven times, remember to the seven churches, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. God help us tonight to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. I want God to speak to my heart. I don't want to be the same person. I want Jesus meant to come as quickly as he can, but at the same time, I want him to save more people. And the only way God can do that is when we have the vision and the passion to bring people that do not know the Lord because we love them, pray for them, and then bring them into the church to get what? To get convicted by the Holy Spirit. Not trying to convert them. Allow God to speak to their hearts. But you pray for them before you bring them. God will change their hearts to come. That's really important for each one of us. Because if the Lord is truly coming for his bride and we are his bride, should we not be excited, but at the same time worried? Because if I have any one of my relatives that did not know the Lord, what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to them? Paul the Apostle, talking to the Philippians in chapter 3:21, listen what he says. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed into his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Who's that? Jesus. Each one of us individually receiving a new body. This old body is going to be gone. Imagine that. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. I mean, you ever been to a funeral where they're non-believers? Men, they weep and they cry, they throw themselves down, and even they rip clothes, whatever it is, because they have no hope. No hope. You go to a Christian funeral, and it's a time of celebration. Why? Because we're going to see each other again. Again. Yeah, we weep, we cry, but we've been left here. They're gone. You know, they're in the presence of the Lord. But at the same time, if they know the Lord, man, thank God that he's taken them. They're in a better place than we are today. And then he goes on to say this, verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are dead. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Well, the dead are already with Christ. The moment you die, you're in the presence of the Lord. When Christ comes back, he's coming with what? The people that have died. We're going to meet him halfway. Coming from heaven, we're going to meet him halfway in the clouds. And watch this. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. comfort one another with these words. Listen, if we don't believe in the coming of Jesus Christ, we've lost all hope. We're miserable. We have nothing to look forward to. Let's eat, let's drink, let's party hardy. Because we only have one life and then we'll die and that's it. Not so to the church, man. The church needs to be righteous. Not our righteousness, his righteousness. Hebrews chapter 10, 35. Listen to Paul talking to the Hebrews. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. For after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Here's the promise. For yet a little while, and he, Jesus, who's coming, will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, notice back to the world, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. To the saving of the soul. Man, we believe that Christ has saved our souls. I don't understand. Because I've had many opportunities to go back into the world. And I've been tempted for 40 years. But every time when I get tempted, remember conscience? The Holy Spirit gives me the freedom to obey or to disobey. And if I'm going to disobey, then I have to count the consequences that will follow up when you sin. The first thing when I talk to people and they talk to me about coming to the Lord and they'll say, well, I'm having all these problems. I tell them, well, what's happening? You're a Christian now, but you're reaping to what? To your sin. You reap. You take drugs. You get saved. Maybe when you get older, a lot of the hippies are having mind problems. Memory problems. Some have even died. Whatever you do, you're going to reap. Maybe you were one of these playboys, you know, maybe syphilis, gonorrhea, or AIDS. As a homosexual, lesbian, or just very loose. You see, we reap to whatever we do. Yes, God forgives us, cleanses us, washes away all my sins. But as long as I'm here, I'm reaping to it. You reap to it. Don't get mad with God. Get mad with yourself. You're the one that did it. Now you're reaping it. You're forgiven. But why is it that Peter says that sometimes the Christians are like dogs that go back to their own vomit? Or the pig that is taking a bubble bath and release and goes back to the mud? Look at the church today. Back in the mud. Eating their own barf. Not a shame. Seriously. Not a shame. I mean, going back into the world after God rescued you and you continue to go with your friends and drink, party, and then go out to do whatever you want to do, and then come to church, raise your hands unto the Lord, and speak the words of God and have your Bible, man, that's hypocrisy to the ultimate. And you better be careful because God might strike you dead. That's what the Bible teaches me. I don't want to be stricken dead by God, man. I want God to use my life. I want God to convict me of my sin. And so that's why John here in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, listen to 1 John 3:2. He says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it's not yet being revealed what we shall be. But we know this, that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope is purifies himself just as he is pure. If you really believe that Jesus is coming, then why aren't you pure as he is pure? Be you holy, for I am holy, Jesus said. Holiness. We're not perfect. There's no possible way, you guys. Not perfect. We're imperfect people. But the Holy Spirit always speaks to my heart. I get mad with people that they can do things that I can't do. Man, I go, how come they can? I can do it, Lord. I don't know why. But the Holy Spirit, maybe the position I'm in as a pastor. When I go to hotels, Billy Graham taught me this. If I travel by myself, I never do that. I always travel with somebody because Satan's after me. And when I go with someone, like Dale and I went this last week, we have our own rooms. If we're not with anybody, I disconnect the cable immediately. I don't want to be tempted. When I go there, somebody's with me the whole time. They drive me here, drive me there. I go speak wherever I, and then I come back. Always with somebody, because how will it be if someone sees me somewhere and they make a lie about me? How are they going to believe me? I didn't do that. You don't have to defend yourself. You have to have integrity. Integrity. Integrity means wholeness. You know, if you don't have integrity, and the first thing when you do something wrong, and you don't have integrity, who's going to believe you the second time? Listen, you're a liar. I mean, even if people saw you, how about God sees you all the time? Aren't you afraid to offend him? Aren't you afraid because he loves you so much that you're breaking his heart? You're breaking his heart. And you don't want to break his heart. Look what he's done for you in your life. He's done so much in your life. And he continues to do that. That's why John in chapter 4, 1 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking. Remember the trumpet? Take it to heaven. The rapture comes. And then what? Speaking with me, saying, come up here. Harpazo, come up here and I will show you things that must take place very soon. What's that? Chapter 6 through 19, the tribulation period. Chapter 4, he's in heaven. Chapter 5, we're in the presence of God and we're worshiping the Lord. Millions and billions of angels worshiping the Lord while all hell breaks loose down here. That's why he says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be able to survive. 7 years. 1,260 days times two, and then Jesus is going to come the second time. And he's not going to be happy. He's going to judge, and he's going to put people in hell, and people in hell will be put into the lake of fire ultimately at the end of the kingdom age. The white throne judgment, it's a done deal. We will be with Jesus forever and ever in the light. The others will be in darkness and gnashing of teeth. No comfort, screaming, yelling, and having all five senses and looking back in your life and knowing how many opportunities God gave you and you didn't come through. And that's too late. You say, where do you get that? Go to Luke chapter 16, verse 19, the rich man and Lazarus in hell. He tells you exactly there how he was tormented. He could see, he could speak, he could hear, he could taste. The whole five senses were there. So I pray tonight for us that God not only will speak to us, but that the book of Revelation will change us, transform us, and that God will do a tremendous work among the elderly as he does among the young. But most important, that each one of us, every single morning, we start on our knees before God, on our knees, speaking to God and listening to God. Father, I pray in your holy name, Jesus. Lord, that you bless your people tonight, God. Lord, I thank you so much for them, Jesus. Lord, I pray for their families, God. Lord, I pray for anyone even here today visiting, God. Someone watching through the internet, Lord, any part of the world, Jesus. Lord, we pray that we would not look at ourselves, but that we look at you, Jesus. And Lord, that tonight every Christian here, Lord God, would examine their hearts, take inventory. And Lord, that as we take inventory, that we would be transformed as we repent, as we come before you, Lord God. We see your presence, Lord. We see your hand upon us, Jesus. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit just continue to show us, Father, how we need to minister to non-believers, Lord. And Father, I pray for all the Christians that are here tonight, Jesus. For any one of them, Lord God, that is missing the mark. Lord God, they're having a difficult time in their flesh. And Lord, they want to do the right thing, but they find themselves doing the wrong thing, Lord God. Just like Paul, just like all of us, Lord God. But Lord, Paul says that it's to deny the flesh to reckon the old man to become brand new, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, Jesus. Lord, baptize us right now with your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Lord, baptize us, Jesus, with your power, Lord, with your love, with your mercies, Lord. And so, Lord, I thank you for these wonderful people, Lord. We ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray, God. And everyone said, amen. Let's all stand.